Good morning. Good, everybody's awake. Who's going to praise the Lord today? Who's going to praise the Lord today?
Amen.
Ah, that's it. You know, because it's in your heart, isn't it? And it's good to know, and the Lord likes to hear that. So do I. Well, let's worship Him in song today. We're going to sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open." They certainly are. We welcome our Steve and Tina from up north. That's Tim's parents. Just walked in the door. Lord bless. Welcome. Shall we stand as we sing? The windows of heaven are open.
Yes, they are.
The blessings are falling tonight. Yes, joy, joy, joy in my heart. The windows of heaven are open.
Thank you, Lord.
The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. There's Jesus made everything right. I gave the Lord in your heart, you have you all the time. Not just in church, wherever you are. He walks with you. He's within you. And He wants you and me to tell other people about Him. That's a pleasure for us too. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is higher. Any other.
really sing it.
Going to open in prayer. You know what? We all need to open in prayer. In your heart. Good to see you, Hooky. It's good to see everybody, and it's good to see the people who join us on the internet. Shall we pray? Precious Lord Jesus, we come to this service, Lord, with gratitude. The reason, Lord, is that you're here. You came with us within our heart, Lord. You came with us. You were right here. You saw us getting ready for service, Lord. You watched over us on the way here. And, Lord, you have something for us today. If we come with an expectant heart, we will receive what you have for us. It's not Howard who will be preaching. He's not telling us. It may come through his voice, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us the understanding what we could have done, what we should have done, and what you, Lord Jesus, will do. We love you, Lord, and we just welcome the people that join us on the internet around the world at this time, wherever they are. We thank you for them. They're a part of the family of God. You're with them, Lord, regardless of the mileage in between. So much a part of us. They are part of, we are part of them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us, for the promises that you fulfilled. You saw us here and you love us, Lord. And we want you to receive our love, Lord. Not the churches, not the name, not the building, but our personal love to Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we are happy to receive the love from our children, we are children of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing while we remain seated, number 705, You Have Longed for Sweet Peace. That's in the Only Believe book. Amen. Let's concentrate on the words that we're singing.
You have longed for me and for faith to be free and never.
All because
question, isn't it? The last verse, the last line in the verse, in the chorus. Get it right. As you yield him your body and soul. We've got to love the Lord from our heart, not from our head. We know we should, but do we? Let's sing, while we remain seated, let's sing number 656, Face to Face with Christ my Savior.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face what will it be?
May not be very far away. We'll sing one more, and then I'll ask Brother Charlie if he will bring the item for us. Shall we stand and sing number 683? Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship.
Be seated, and while they're getting ready for Charlie's item here, I'll just go through the verse, the chorus of that. You know, it speaks so much to me, the songs, the choruses, the hymns themselves. It means so much. And there may be people around the world that have only just decided they might go to church. Unfortunately, that won't save them in itself. They need to know Jesus. And it says, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? That's a question. Do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, without him, how lost we would be. Thank you, Brother Charlie. After that, we'll have our sisters Cheryl and Mel.
Good morning. Isn't God wonderful?
Amen.
Praise God. It's good to come into the house of the Lord and give Him all the praise and all the glory, because He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. For He is the Lord God Almighty. So thankful for the cross of Calvary, that you and I and all of us have been set free by the blood of Jesus. And it's good to come in here and give Him praise and the glory. I didn't think I was going to sing today, because I was getting some meat out of my freezer at home, and I got the meat, I was hanging on to the door, and I had socks on, and I grabbed this bunch of meat, and it dropped on my foot. You know what? I never swore. I never cussed. But I called out to Jesus. Then I heard this little voice say, "Oh, my Jesus." And I thought, "Oh, no, I don't think I'll be able to sing today." But then I heard this voice going, "Ah, you don't sing with your toe, you sing with your mouth." So I said, "Well, bless you, Lord, anyway." Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. He's good. God is good. He is good. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to sing this. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Why I'm singing that is because of my toe. You know, it's a sacrifice to stand here because my tapping toe is gone. It's a little bit numb, but never mind. I'll try my best anyway. So if I go a little bit flat, I'll blame my foot. Okay? Praise God. Here we go. You can join in too. Come on, let us all together. Here we go. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to Him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to Him the sacrifices of praise. Singing joy, joy, joy in the presence of the Lord. Singing hallelujah, amen. Singing joy, joy, joy in the presence of the Lord. Singing hallelujah, amen. Oh, dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate to the King. Dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate, hallelujah, amen. Here we go. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of praise. Singing joy, joy, joy in the presence of the Lord. Singing hallelujah, amen. Singing joy, joy, joy in the presence of the Lord. Singing hallelujah, amen. Dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate to the King. Dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Give the Lord a hand, give the Lord a hand. God is wonderful. After all that, thank you, Lord, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Who believes that? Who believes that they have been redeemed? We are redeemed. We should be rejoicing in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should be, look, we're being redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We are free by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we go. Can I sing the song, "I Am Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb"?
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, and I know I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. For my sins are taken away, praise the Lord.
Come on now.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, and I know I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away, praise the Lord. I am redeemed.
Come on now.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, and I know I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away, praise the Lord.
Amen. Give God a hand. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. Thank you, my sisters. You know, Brother Charlie, you don't sing it a song, you get a sermon. Well done. Next minute you'll be up here, brother. Thank you, Brother Charlie. I've been looking forward to his singing. You know, it's not just the song of words that he has. He has the life of Charlie inside, and inside Charlie is the Lord. And he shares it. That's what's good about it. Sister Shirley and Sister Merle.
I travel alone upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it's this Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend, amen, upon this newfound friend. And so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate, I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow. I know that I
Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing of His great love to me. Forever I'll tell Him on land and on sea. I'll stay by His side, contented I'll be. Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon this newfound friend. It's Jesus and me, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Amen. What I like about Jesus and me, that, you know, if you love somebody, like your wife or your husband, you don't want to share with that person with anyone else. But it's different with the Lord. You want to share Him with everybody. You know, you give the love of Jesus away that you have and tell people, they come in, but you're not jealous. You're just so glad. That's the difference about it. We're just going to have some prayer meetings. Yeah, them too. Prayer requests here. I'm going to read some out. I'm going to ask Brother Steve. I haven't given him any warning. He's just coming a bit later. If you'd like to bring a greeting and pray for these, you may not remember all the detail, but that's fine. The Lord knows all about them, but it just has us sharing with it. But just before I read that, I want to bring you something here from... Why is it doing that? So sorry about this. No, for some reason it's not working. Oh, I think I've got it right now. It's not happening. Anyway, sorry about that. Just remember here, we've got prayer requests from Laura Richardson. We prayed for her on Tuesday. There's quite a number of things, but the Lord knows all the details, so we'll just remember her. And there's one from here, Paul Frangos. I'll just read his because it covers other people. Good evening, everyone. Brother Ron Pedersen has been hospitalized with COVID-19 and double pneumonia. His wife, Sister Sandy, is also fighting COVID-19. All back home. Oh, Howard just telling me, home healed. Good. Praise God. We prayed for them as earlier on in the week as well. Just remember Israel, which we always do or try to do. They that bless Israel will be blessed. And I'm thinking of Brother Tommy and Billy McKinstry in Ireland and all the prayers that they had for other people. So just remember the folks there in Ireland, generally speaking, and in their fellowship. And we thank our Lord for answered prayers that we've given to Him, and He has blessed us with it. Thank you, Brother Steve. Steve is Brother Tim's father, and Steve's preached here a few times.
Is there any unspoken prayer requests in our midst this morning? Amen. And I was just thinking ahead on my heart this morning, I know the Lord answered a prayer for me. I'd been praying for a while, and the Lord just undertook and answered that prayer, and it just all unfolded. And I know that you yourselves would have had answered prayers in your lives, you know, where you had a need or you had a want or whatever it was, then God answered your prayer. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord answers prayer? You know, because He's real. He's there all the time. He's watching us. He's looking over us. I remember years ago, I was working down in the Endeavour metal place there, and I had the thought, you know, I had the doubt, Satan put a doubt in my mind, you know, is the Lord really watching over you? Well, I was cycling to work one day, and I was going around the sharp corner, and a car came around and cut the corner, and he cut it so close, and he only just missed me. But the anointing of the Lord was right there. So He knew my thoughts. He knew I was thinking about, does He watch over us? And so that happened to let me know that He's always there. He always watches over us. So these people on the prayer request, just take heart. God is over all. All things work for the good, don't they? Let's pray for these ones. Lord Jesus, we give You thanks, Lord. Lord, You're always watching, Lord. Lord, from the cradle to the grave, Lord Jesus, You're there every step, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that You're a caring, loving Saviour. Lord, You saw that great need, Lord, and You came and You died on Calvary, Lord, for the sins of the world. You knew, Lord, that You wanted us to be back to Yourself, Lord. So You came and redeemed us back to Yourself, Lord. And Lord, You said, none can pluck them out of My Father's hand. And Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, we do pray, Lord, our hearts go out for these ones, Lord, that need Your touch, Lord, in their lives, Lord, Your help, the healing of their body, Lord. Jesus, Lord, the help in their lives, Lord, the trouble, the striving, Lord. You know how Satan tries to twist us into a knot, Lord, and then You can come along, Lord, and just smooth it out, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for these answered prayer requests, Lord. Brother Ron Peterson, Lord, and his wife or the other sister, Lord, going home, Lord. What a time we live in, Lord. But we know that You hold us in the hollow of Your hand, Lord. And we give You thanks, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for the ministry this morning. May You bless our brother, Lord. Move him aside, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we hear from heaven, Lord. May the Word of God come fresh again, Lord Jesus. By Your Spirit, Lord, may You anoint our hearts to receive it, Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Been here many years. Then he let us down. He's a good brother. I got this thing. I don't know why it happened, but I got a testimony here, actually, from Singapore. Brother James Nair, who we know very well, have a lot to do with. Salvation is what I've got. It's here, and it reads, Jesus paid it all. Sin paid. Shame paid. Regret paid. Past mistakes paid. Unforgiveness paid. Hurt paid. Anger paid. The grand total, nil, nil. It says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I just feel real good. when it came up, it just for some reason it went foggy and I couldn't read it. I could see the glare, but it wouldn't actually light up. But it did it anyway. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Well, look, let's just sing one more. Let's sing 387. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Shall we stand to our feet as we sing that? And then Brother Howard will come. I want you to say all together in a big loud voice, I love you, Lord Jesus. In a big loud voice, I love you, Lord Jesus. Once more, I love you, Lord Jesus. He heard it from your heart. You may be seated.
So you love the Lord. That's wonderful. And if you love him, he said, keep my commandments. If we really love him, we'll keep his word. That's a sign that you love him. That's what he said. That's the identification that we do love him, is that we keep his commandments. And we just want to keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back in the house of God. Just love to be here and thank the Lord for all he's doing for us. And we're just so glad that we have been able to come together and make the video available to people. We've just added a gadget down there. The camera can swing around to anything. And include everybody, especially through testimony time up there, we'll be able to. So we're looking forward to using that, or Tom's using it now. Brother Tim doesn't even have to get out of his seat. He does it right where he is. So we praise God for that. And you probably don't realize the blessing it is to people going out Last Sunday we had 70 people joined us out there. When I say 70 people, 70 connections. I don't know how many in the connections there were. There might have been 10, there might have been 2, 1. But I just thank the Lord that we're able to share together. Because I personally believe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is closer than you realize. I really believe that. And that's why it behooves us to be careful, to walk right, think right, do right, to be in love with Jesus Christ and realize that, as the brother was saying, that the blood of Jesus is keeping us clean every moment of the day. That's right, Brother Charlie. He is our righteousness, period. So we just pray that the Lord will bless this word today. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Esther. I love Esther. I think she was very special. We'll see why. She lived for God. She lived for His people. She did not live for herself. So let's turn to Esther chapter 4, verse 15, which says, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in the Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to that Esther had commanded him. Then Esther, was that all as far as we went on that one? Yes. We go to verse 1 now of Esther 5. "And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house." Now Esther, just maybe, we'll cover a little bit later. But Esther was a queen. She was a Jew. And she was queen. And so she had a real serious need to come to the king. And she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther a golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee, to half of the kingdom." So may the Lord just bless his precious word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus Christ, we come unto thee. And Lord, you know how weak we are and how much we need you. And Lord, I just pray that you would come to us this morning and speak to our hearts. We don't want to hear from a man. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit on His Word. So Lord, may you come and help us all to get closer to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' wonderful name. We give this Word into your hands, Lord. We pray that you'd be gracious to come with your anointing and your unction. And that you'll bless the hearers also, Lord. Not just the speaker, because you said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with those that heard it. So, Lord, I pray that you'll anoint us all this morning. May we speak and hear according to the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to speak about the right approach. The right approach. You see, this story is more serious than it appears on the outside. But Esther, Queen Esther, had heard of a serious conspiracy to destroy the Jews on a certain day. Everyone then, to be slaughtered. And of course, she, the queen, was a Jew also, unbeknown to her conspirators. And this is where we pick up the story of Esther coming before the king. It was a very dangerous move, what Esther did. Medes and the Persians, they had laws that were final. And it was so powerful, the kings couldn't even change it. To cut a long story short, these conspirators had arranged with the king to make a law, you know, about this. And he stamped it, not really realizing the Jews to be killed, that his own queen was a Jew. And he can't just say, oh, I made a mistake. You can't do that. But I'm not going into the story. The story is not about what we're speaking of, in a sense. But I just want to bring you that background. So it was a very dangerous thing for the queen, Esther, to come before the king. Because if you came before the king without permission, the penalty was serious. You were put to death. There's only one proviso. If the king raised the scepter in his hand and that person came and touched the end of the scepter because he had raised it, they were pardoned. And they could come to the king. So Esther was in a position that she didn't know what was going to happen. So she got the whole of the Jews to get praying and fasting, even her own maidens, and she fasted and prayed. There's something we need to do, is fast and pray. When you want an answer from God, you've got to get serious about it. And her attitude towards the king meant everything. You can't put it on. If you're coming before the king and realize he could take your life right there in the palace, you can't play with it. So she had to come with the right attitude after much prayer and the prayers of the saints. And I believe our attitude also means everything to us coming before the King of Kings. We cannot waltz up into the presence of God and say, oh Lord, I want this, I want that. Hold on. That's the wrong approach. We're speaking about the right approach. Our approach today plays a major part to this meeting this morning. Our approach this morning can affect your life and affect those around you. And so, Esther was aware of that, and we should be aware of that. And our personal access to God must be right. It's so important, brother and sister. You know, it's like, in a sense, don't even pray until you get your heart right. Get your heart right before you come to the Lord. Because he gets lots of people coming up with a wish list. I want this, I want that, I want the Lord do this for me, do that for me. He says, oh, not another one. He wants somebody that's got a right attitude towards him and a gratefulness and appreciation of what he's done for us. So we can't overemphasize the importance of the right approach. God requires the right attitude when approaching him. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm aware of this every day of my life. When I get down to pray, I'm aware that I must have a right attitude. I said, don't even try to pray. You're better off to wait until you get your heart right. A lot of prayers are said in vain. As Jesus said, they give me praise with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That bothered Jesus. It bothers God today. You've got to come with the right approach. God requires the right attitude when approaching Him. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's holding 200 billion galaxies out there. I won't go through how big a galaxy is because they're very large. And I don't want to spend time, but He is a mighty God. So our approach today plays a major part, as I said, in the service. Two people may come for prayer. They may come to be prayed for. Maybe they have similar needs, both coming. And one receives and the other misses it. Same needs, same God. Right approach, wrong approach. I'm not judging anybody. It's just a fact. Even for me. But often the attitude of approach will always determine their outcome. There's so many examples in the Bible. We can spend the whole morning speaking about examples. Are we humbly coming to God? Even today, if you want to receive, who wants to receive from the Lord this morning? Now, if you're coming to the preacher, you'll be bitterly disappointed. You will be, because the preacher can do nothing for you. The preacher's coming himself to God. You need to come to the Lord with the right approach. If you come to the preacher, you get nothing. If you come to God, there's a chance that He will hear you. Well, I know He will hear you. Seek and ye shall find. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, shall be filled. So we come before Him. And we come in the godly fear and respect to Him. Not only to God, but to one another. You know, that's why I was saying, you know, the other week we were talking about coming into the temple of the Lord, the temple. The temple is us here. But when we come into this temple, that's why we don't come in here talking and just about anything. This needs to be a holy place where God dwells. And people are coming here to receive a touch from God, a vital touch to their spiritual walk or the healing of their body. So it's very important that we keep a right atmosphere. Atmosphere is everything to God being present. And may He hear us this morning as we come to Him today. I fear too often that we're too casual and too insincere. I remember Brother Branham saying one time, the angel of God that came into the room said to him, William Branham, you're not sincere enough. I thought, wow, where do I stand on this? Not sincere enough, a man that raised the dead, used of God mightily. You know, brother and sister, we need to come and reassess our attitude. To make sure it's right. So, where do we stand then? If men of God had to be questioned many times. I believe the same principle applies to each one of us also. Greater sincerity and humility, I believe, will produce greater results. That's why I said, if you're not in the right attitude, don't even pray. I'm serious. because it's just going in one ear and out the other. Just words repeating. Jesus said, oh, they got a lot of words. They pray with their mouth, but their heart's not there. God wants your heart. He wants all of your heart. He doesn't want 99% of your heart. He wants 100% of your heart. Then he can help you. So what about Esther? Dear Esther. You know, she was a very beautiful woman. Exceeded any beauty in the land. And the king, his first wife, she disobeyed him and all these things. So he said, I've got to get another wife. In those days, they did that. And they went searching, and they found this little Jew. Her name was, is it Hananiah? What was her name? Hanasa? Anyway, to cut a long story short, she had to change her name because she had a Jewish name. And her uncle, Mordecai, he said, you've got to have Esther, otherwise they will suspect something. So they changed her name to Esther. And she became the king's wife. And so we see that it's really important that we walk right. And Esther had a wonderful spirit. When she heard of this conspiracy that all the Jews are going to be slaughtered on a certain date, that she said, I have to do something about this. It may cost me my life. Are you willing to lay down your life for the body of Christ? A lot of people have. And she went, and as I said before, the king, under great risk of her being slaughtered. Terrible, isn't it? That's how it was in those days. But my, what a lesson we can learn. What an approach. We've got to think on this, brother and sister. God is not under any obligation to us. Never think that he's obligated. He's not. He's given a promised word, yes. If you hold to his word, he'll honor that if you come with the right attitude about it. He's not under any obligation to us. None whatsoever. I remind myself all the time, God doesn't have to do anything with me. He's got millions of brothers, 1,000 times better than I am to draw on. He doesn't need me. But do you know what? I need him. God doesn't need you, but you desperately need him. And we've always got to remember who God is and who we are not. Remember who we are not. It's a wonderful exercise to remember that you are nothing. And brothers and sisters, to say, Lord, I am nothing. I am aware that I am nothing. I'm shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, and I need your mercy and I need your grace and I need the blood of Jesus this morning. Amen. You need it. I love what Brother Charles Spurgeon said one time. Really good. Really spoke to me. He said this, grow likewise in humility. Seek to lie very low. Seek to lie very low. And know more about your own nothingness. Those words of wisdom. This man had 5,000 people in his church every Sunday. That's what he said. Know your nothingness. As you grow downward in humility, seek also to grow up upward, having nearer approaches to God in prayer and more intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. So it's a really good thing to think about, to dwell upon your nothingness. It's a good starting point. Without him, we can do nothing. Now, just because God uses us makes no difference. God can use who he will. God used Pharaoh of Egypt to show his glory. That didn't save him. So God can use what he will. The thing is, our attitude to him must be right. Our approach to God must be right. Look at Isaiah the prophet's approach. If you read that sometime in Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. Isaiah was a mighty prophet. God vindicated him without question. One day he came into the presence of Almighty God. He came in, the temple was filled with the glory of God. His train filled the temple. He didn't come up and say, "Oh Lord God Almighty, as you know, Lord, I am here, your prophet. I humbly come before thee, Lord. What is it?" He could have, but he didn't. This mighty prophet came into the presence of God, and he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone." A mighty prophet used of God. He came before the Lord. That was his position. So important. I am undone. The way up is down. Never forget that from your heart. Woe is something we don't use very often. But the word woe means a feeling of misery, sorrow, distress, or wretchedness. That's what Isaiah was saying to the Lord. Lord, I am feeling so full of misery and sorrow and distress and wretchedness, and I am undone. And I'm not even worthy to be here. Let me say this, brother and sister. When you come into the presence of God, when you're in the true, holy presence of God, there is no stuffed shirts. Cannot be. He is so holy and so humble, we have nothing to say but blessed be the name of the Lord. It humbles you down. Someone says, "I was in the presence of God and I did this and I did that." I doubt it. I doubt it. For these men of God, these great prophets, when they came into the presence of God, humbled themselves down and said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And that's what I want. I want that to be reality. He wants that to be reality. I not just talk about it. "Oh Lord, it is real. I feel this way. This is the way I feel." Made a big difference his approach to God, Isaiah. It determined a different outcome. God took the tongs from off the altar, and with a coal of fire touched his lips and cleansed him. He said he was undone. It takes the cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost to change you. Coming to church is not going to do it. Good coming to church. But that doesn't always do it. Your heart's got to have the right approach to his presence. And God touched Isaiah. And then the voice came out. "Who shall we send? Who will go for us?" And then Isaiah could say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." He had been brought to that place of true humility. I tell you, humility by the Holy Ghost is a very, very precious thing. God can use you. God can bless you. I just want to be more humble every day by the presence of God in my life. You cannot work it up. You cannot put it on. It's something God does for you. Who believes he does it for you? So may God really humble us down. Like Esther, Isaiah, never relied on his position or calling. So I'm a prophet, so I'm the queen of Persia. No way. I believe Esther in all her beautiful gown, because she dressed really nicely. She came before the king. I don't believe she said, "Hi, king, I'm here now." Oh, no. She said, she came up reverently. And she stood there. She didn't even go up to the throne. Just waiting for the verdict. She said, "If I live, I live. If I die, I die." You've got to have that attitude. We've got to have an attitude that when we come to God, whatever He says, it's always right. God says something about me, it's right. Don't argue with Him, He's always right. What did Paul the Apostle say? What was his attitude? Mighty Apostle, he may have been that wonderful in his day, although I think some really appreciate him. People don't even appreciate Paul today. They question everything he says, half of them. He was God's servant. He wrote the gospel out for us so clearly that we cannot miss it. You know, his attitude. Was Paul so confident that he was careless? No, he wasn't. He says here in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body to bring it into subjection, into control, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That was his attitude. We must always look at ourselves and not at others. Looking at others is poison in your blood. I said, looking at others is poison in your blood. You've got to look inward. You cannot be looking in here and out there at the same time. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me." It'll never do you any good looking at other people. Forget it. It'll never help you looking at other people. Look at Christ and Him alone. Who loves the Lord Jesus? That's right. Always look at Him. Some look at the preacher. They do. They look at the preacher and they give a mark out of 10. He did this good, he did that. That's not going to help you. Not one little bit. It'll never help us. We come to Him just as we are, beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Beneath the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. How precious that blood of Jesus is. I love when you pray, Brother Tom, about the blood of Jesus. Because it's what it is. Without His blood, we're going nowhere. It will never help you looking at somebody else, especially when you're seeking God. Jesus gave an example in Luke 18:10. Two men went into the temple to pray. They went into church to pray. And one was a Pharisee, a preacher. And the other was a publican, a sinner. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He didn't speak it out, but God knew what he was thinking. Thus with himself, "I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men are." Oh, brother, we are like other men. But he said, "I'm glad I'm not like as other men are, extortioners, crooks, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over in the corner there." He didn't say that, but that's what he's thinking. God saw it. "I fast twice a week. I give my tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, he didn't even come up to the altar. He was afar off. He would not even lift his eyes unto heaven. He kept his head down. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the approach we need. Be merciful unto me, a sinner, Lord. Then you'll get somewhere with God. You say, oh, I'm a preacher. Why, God uses me to do this. God's gifted me. Very nice. That's not the way to approach him. God's not impressed with your gifts. If he gave them to you, he knows all about them. They belong to him anyway. He's coming to collect your talent. They belong to God. So all glory to Jesus. That's his prayer. He didn't even look up to heaven. Had his head down, he smote his breast. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this other man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, I often think about that. Be exalted. I said, Lord, not in this world. I don't want to be exalted. Why say, when it says be exalted, I believe that's to be in his presence. If you just let me be in your presence, I'm happy. You feel that, Brother Keith? Just want to be in his presence. I know you desire that. God does too. So may God help us all to not be encumbered with these distractions. We must approach God in true humility, not a false humility. A false humility is worse because God sees it. I believe this should be our approach to meetings. If we come into his house looking at others, we just see people and all their mistakes. Best you just stay home. If you come to examine people, you know, I've always said this, and I've said it all over the world, actually. Some people try to take the place of the Holy Spirit. They examine everybody. Oh, they're not a right Christian. Well, they do this, they shouldn't do that. Who said? You don't know what they're thinking. That man that Jesus spoke of was saying, I'm glad I'm not like him over there. God knew what that man was thinking, smiting his breast. He never even looked up to heaven. He was so humbled. Be merciful unto me. So don't do that. You're not helping yourself or others. May God help us all. Some just come to church to have a good time. Some people come because they love to sing. And that's nice, but that's not what we come for. We come to worship him and to love him and to praise him. That's why it's so important that we praise him from our hearts. When we sing unto the Lord a new song. If we let God's searchlight go to working on our hearts. You know, brother and sister, I'm very conscious of this. It takes God to search you. People say, I search my heart. No, you can't. David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, because I don't know. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. He couldn't even search his own heart. Search me, O God, he said. I need the searchlight of thee, of thy word, to search me out. David had a wonderful heart for the Lord. We know he made some big mistakes we spoke about the other week. But he knew how to repent. To be able to repent is by the goodness of God. You cannot repent whenever you want to. The Bible says, very clearly, it's by the goodness of God that he leads you to repentance. That's what he said. So we see, if you get repentance, that's the goodness of God to you. You know, Jesus looked his attitude to his very own disciples was this in John 21:20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, that was John. He was like a special friend. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man John do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee, Peter? Follow thou me. You know, we're busy looking at John's and seeing what John's doing and Peter's doing and somebody else is doing. We need to follow the Lord. Get our eyes turned upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. Don't spend your time looking at others. Jesus made it very clear. I always put an updated English. Jesus said unto him, what? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee, Peter? So you just mind your own business. That's what he's saying to him. Don't you do that. This is my doing. And John did see the Lord come. So how did he saw it in Revelations? He was taken up to the last day, and God showed him a vision, and he saw the saints, and he saw the Lord coming. So John did see the coming of the Lord. He tarried until I came. So wonderful things everywhere in the Bible, isn't there? So our approach must be according to his word. God is not here to bless or to vindicate our own understanding. God will treat every person exactly the same if your approach is right. He doesn't say, I think this one needs a better blessing than this one. God will bless everybody the same. We come down to ground zero, get on our knees and say, Lord, I am nothing. I am undone. Get down to I am undone, then God can lift you up. We need to do this every day. I seek to do it every day. God knows my heart. He knows whether I'm lying to you. God wants me to humble myself down. And I do too. But I can't do it without him. We need him to help us. So God will treat everyone the same, exactly the same. Peter says this in Acts 10:34. Then Peter, opening his mouth, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. The Prime Minister or the President or whoever has no more access to God than I have. We all come through the blood. We can all come through the foot of Calvary, and that's our access to God. People are quick to say, I've seen it many times. Oh, God spoke to me and said this, and God spoke to me and said that. Boy, he speaks to you a lot of times. God spoke to me when I was doing this and I was putting on my tie or something. Now, God can, of course. God speaks to people a lot more than he speaks to me. I think, man, they have a wonderful time. God spoke to me. I probably couldn't utter it for months. It had such an effect on me. I've never heard the voice of God, but he has spoken to my heart very clearly. He speaks to my heart every day. Isn't that wonderful? Does God speak to your heart? Hear his voice. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And brothers and sisters, it's really important that we understand these things. People are quick to say these things. God said this, God said that. But is it according to his word? That's the test. Everything should be taken through the scriptures. God said this. Where is it in the Bible? Does it conflict with the scriptures? Because God won't write something and then say something else to you. He keeps his word. Another thing, we must be clean vessels for the Master's use. People say, I want the Holy Ghost. Father, pray for me that I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and your life's not right. And you know it's not right, whoever it may be. I'm not saying about anyone here, I'm just saying general. People want the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's a Holy Spirit. People just want the Spirit. No, it's a Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit, there's got to be cleanness in spirit, in heart. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. I'm not talking about that. We must have a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. So we must be clean vessels. You get a cup, you found it on the road or in the chook pan or something, and it's, you wouldn't fill it up with water. It's filthy. Neither does God. God does not put a Holy Spirit into a filthy vessel. That's why sanctification of the Spirit is so important. Justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. No shortcuts. We've got to come God's way. He'll always clean his vessel before using it. We sound that out with Isaiah. We need to come into his presence with a sanctified heart. Sanctification is so important. Oh boy. I'm understanding things more about this than I ever did before. I thought I knew it. I didn't know it. Salvation, the grace and mercy of God. I thought I knew it. I didn't know it. But every day he makes it clearer to me, and I want him. So we must come to God with the right approach and reverence. Not in a casual manner. Our approach to the service, as I said, can make it or break it, the service. I believe a casual approach will produce a casual result. Like Isaiah, he reverently approached God at the altar of God. Some things, it doesn't matter. It does matter. The thing that used to really bother me, Brother Taz, sometimes, see, Billy Graham, these altar calls, and I'm not saying God didn't use them, he did. But people coming down there chewing chewing gum. I want to get right with God. Sorry. You don't chew chewing gum in the presence of God. That's a reverence. People pushing one another. The Holy Spirit brings true repentance. It brings you right down with the right approach. I just can't stand watching people. Hope no one's chewing chewing gum here. You spit it out, I won't look. But it's chewing chewing gum. You shouldn't be doing that in church. This is a place to worship God and be dedicated to the Lord. Praise be to God. We present, God can even be present, and the attitude not right. God is here this morning. Who believes he's here this morning? Amen. You see, you've got to have a right attitude. Look at Jesus with Herod. What an opportunity he had, Herod, for salvation of his soul. He stood right in front of the Son of God that could cleanse his heart and give him eternal life. And Herod said to him, could you do a trick for me? That's what he said. Could you perform a miracle for me? I'd like to see some of these things I've been hearing about. And he lost his opportunity because his approach was wrong. No. The thieves on the cross is a very good example. Both condemned men to be crucified. But one approach to Jesus made all the difference. One said, "Lord, if you be God and Messiah, why don't you get us off this cross? Get us out of this terrible place." The other one said, "How can you speak to God like that? Don't you realize who that is? And you just speak so like he's somebody on the street." He turned to him and said, "Lord, be merciful unto me, and thou come to thy kingdom." And he said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He was saved. Had a right approach. The other man needed that too, but he didn't have the right approach. See, approach is everything when you come to prayer. Waiting on God. Coming to service. Another important approach is to come expecting. As you approach God, come expecting Him to meet your need. Who wants to receive of the Lord this morning? You really want something from God. He will show mercy if you come with the right approach. Come with the right attitude. He'll come to you. He'll never turn anybody aside. The Lord never does that. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? He never turns us aside. He'll show mercy, trusting in his shed blood, trusting in his righteousness. I'm going to heaven not because I went to church, not because I preached or sang. I know you don't hear me sing. But any other gift, I'm not going to heaven because of that. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me at Calvary. He took all my judgment and all my sin upon his precious body. It was my sin that put him on that cross. And he died a sinner's death, even though he had never sinned. He had my sin all over him. Do you love the Lord this morning? See, we've got to come with the right approach. That's why it's really good to go through Calvary. As Brother Spurgeon said, to always remember your nothingness, how much you need God. When you come to God expecting, you normally get what you expect. If you come expecting to be saved, you'll be saved. If you come expecting to be healed, you will be healed. Hallelujah. Who loves the Lord? He's so wonderful, isn't he? Just ask God to give us the right approach and the expectation. I believe we should approach God in prayer. And a prepared heart. I believe it is a good exercise to daily examine our approach to God. Me examine my approach to God. You've got to examine yours. I can't examine Brother Steve's, and Brother Steve can't examine mine. We've got to examine our own. That's why we love that "Search me, O God." David said this, Psalm 139:23-24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me." You'll be tried. "And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way of everlasting." Takes the mercy of God, the mercy and grace of God to search our hearts. Then we can come. Check our attitude and our approach to God and to one another. You can't have a good approach to God and not have a good approach to your brother and sister. Sorry. Jesus said, "If you say you love me and love not your brother, you are a liar." Very straight talk, but that's what he said. So, Lord, search our hearts. I wonder if we could stand for prayer. Every head bowed, every heart bowed. That's an important thing. You're going to have your head bowed and think about what you're having for lunch. But God wants our hearts. He really does. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning, Lord. Just remember every sincere heart here that wants to come with the right approach. Lord, if we're not coming with the right approach, help us change our attitude, Lord. It takes You to do it. We love You and we praise You, Lord. I just pray, Lord, You'll move in every heart here this morning. Lord, move in every heart that were joining with us, wherever they would be. For You're everywhere. This world's in a bad way, Lord, we know it. We know the judgments of God are boiling beneath this earth. We know we're in the last days. We know we're in the days of the coming of the Lord. You said, be ye therefore ready, for now, when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I pray, Lord, that You'll minister to each one of us here. Search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us. I give this word to You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it be. Go sink deep into my heart. Lord, help me to have a right approach. Lord, I really want that right approach. Never let us become casual when we pray. Just speak out a prayer with nice words, but a heart is far from You. That bothered You when You're here, Lord. They draw nigh unto Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. I just pray You bless everyone here, Lord, and all those joining us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
This is the word of God.
And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
This is a mighty prayer by David. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. What a tragedy. What a haunting feeling to think that God would take His Holy Spirit from me. But let's pray that he'll restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Pray that God will meet your need. Come in with the right approach. Say, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. It's a terrible thought. It's a nightmare that God would take his Holy Spirit from you. You need the Holy Ghost to be raptured. For God to take you up and change your body, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. That's the quickening power. Who loves the Lord? Let's sing this again as we pray for these here. Brother Lee, would you like to come?
Create in me a
sing 127, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Sing 116, wondrous love of God to me. God, my love,
Don't be shy, brother. These are brothers and sisters we're going to spend eternity with. The Lord's been speaking to his heart that he should be baptized. A couple of weeks ago, it's on his heart, and I mentioned it again. And he just feels he needs to be. So, brother, we're going to baptize you maybe in a week or two. We'll just pray that the God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. So next week or whenever it is, I'm not sure just now, but we're going to baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2. So thank you, brother. May God bless you. Go rejoicing and be prepared. Wait on the Lord. Right approach makes all the difference in your baptism. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, let us just bow our heads as we close, and then we'll just sing again. Yes, we just sung Wondrous Love of God to Me as we go on our way. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for what we've heard today. We know it's the truth. We witness it in our heart. We love you, Lord. Please receive us. Forgive us of all our sins and iniquity, the mistakes we made, and we know that you will. And you're genuine. If you said you'd do it, you'll do it. Lord, at this time, we just say thank you for the luncheon we're about to have. We bless the hands that prepared or what they brought and undertake for us. Be with us in the fellowship. Bless the people that joined us on the internet, wherever they are listening. We just thank you, Lord, for being with us at this meeting this afternoon at 1 p.m. and also the 7 p.m. Tuesday prayer meeting. Just bring those along that you wish to be there. If we want to be part of the family of God, we need to be a part of the prayer. We thank you for these things, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Wondrous love of God to me, love that led to Calvary, love that makes it stand.